Hey, very good. I know we've already said it, but I want to say it again. It's so great to have you with us this morning if you're visiting, and especially if you've come with the guys that have been baptized this morning. It is just such an amazing moment in someone's life. I remember getting baptized November the 9th, 2003. Got baptized, and just a great moment that I remember. I remember sitting on the stage back at Nan in the Soldiers Memorial Hall and ready to give my little testimony, and remember tearing up, and I remember wearing my Colorado shoes that were so hideous. Anyway, it was just one of those things that I remember. Probably was wearing cords. Does anybody still wear cords? No. Does anybody even know what cords are anymore, young people? Some of the young guys are like, what? You are old. And fun times. But it is one of those moments, life-changing moments that stays with us. And so it's awesome that you were able to be here to be with your family or your friend today for that moment, which is awesome. Hey, we're looking at a topic at the moment. Come and See is our theme for the year. And at the moment, this month, we're looking at the word commitment and what that means. And Georgia Williams shared a great word, kicked us off last week with a word around commitment, obviously. And what I got out of Georgia's word was around God's commitment to us. And she used the story of Gideon and how God just kept coming back to Gideon and saying, I want you to do this. I want you to do this. I want you to do this. And Gideon, like me, and I think like lots of us, was a procrastinator. He was one that didn't want to take charge, didn't want to own up to it, didn't want to do anything, and God just didn't give up on him. And thank God that God is committed to us, right? Yes. It's like, because I tell you, if God was as committed to me as I've been to him at times, then it's probably not a very good outcome for us. Or for me, and wherever your journey is and whatever that's been over the years, God's committed to you. I want to say that right from the start, God's committed to you. Yeah. Whether you believe in him, whether you're here purely because somebody said, hey, I'm getting baptized, you need to be here, and your family, so you don't get a choice, it's like God's committed to you. And I want to encourage you today around that, but there's also then the side of our commitment and our part, and these five incredible people today have taken the plunge literally into the waters of baptism, but to stand up on the stage and to share a testimony is an incredible feat for anyone to do, but to share your heart, to be vulnerable like these guys were today, is just something truly special. And so they've been committed to going through that process. But why? What's it actually about? It's about showing their commitment to God. Showing us that they're committed to God. Showing themselves maybe that they're committed to God. But it's about commitment. And I love what the Bible... I do love what the Bible... The Bible has lots to say about the word commitment. But I actually love what the Urban Dictionary says. And so I'm going to preach out of the... No, I'm not going to preach out of the Urban Dictionary. I'm just going to reference it right now. But the Urban Dictionary says this about commitment. It says, commitment is what transforms the promise into reality. It is the words that speak boldly of our intentions and the actions which speak louder than words. It's like, how good is that? It almost sounds like it could have been in the Bible. Maybe it is a scripture that they've just copied and pasted into the Urban Dictionary. But commitment is what transforms the promise into reality. And so when we get committed, when someone commits to stepping into the waters of baptism, they're going from what is a promise into a reality. See, when you get engaged, you make a promise at that moment that we're going to do this, but then the action of actually saying I do, the action of putting the ring on it, the action of is what takes it from being a promise to a reality of we're now a married couple. There's lots of other ways that you can look at that and references you can make, but it's like it's the actions that speak louder than words. And as I was preparing this message, you know, I was thinking about all the different things that we can commit to, all the different things that I've committed to and at times not committed to study. See, I was committed to... No, I wasn't committed to study. Committed to work. I'm committed to work. I'm committed to family. I'm committed to friends. There's things that we commit to, like TV shows. Might be your Netflix series that you're watching that it's like, I'm committed to watching this. I know we went through a phase with Designated Survivor every Thursday night. The new episode had come out and we were committed. We're watching Designated Survivor. I know Shooter's just finished, but I did the same. Emma wasn't interested in it, but the series Shooter, I was committed. I was like, I'm watching it. I like it. I'm going to watch it. And so I'd find time to watch it because I was committed to it. There was other things like Bondi Rescue or something else on TV. It's like, whatever. I love Bondi Rescue. It's a great show. But it's like, I wasn't as committed to that as I was to... And so there's little things that might sound real trivial, but when you look at your life, what are you committed to? Committed to sport. Committed to watching sport. Committed to a bit of banter around sport. What is it that you're committed to? You might be committed to eating the same breakfast every day, and if you go away or if that's suddenly not available, it throws your whole routine into chaos because breakfast isn't what breakfast was, and you've made this internal kind of weird commitment that I'm going to have this way every day. And when it's not there, what do? Committed to work. We can be committed to church. We can be committed in our church. We do connect groups, small groups, house groups. If you've grown up in church circles or if you've heard of different things, terminology, there's all sorts of things around, but effectively small groups that get together, encourage each other and do life together. We call them connect groups. So we've got them in our church and there's a whole bunch of people that are committed to them. Why would I commit to something like that? Why would I commit to coming to church? Well, I cannot say it any better than the 5 testimonies that we've already heard today as to why I commit and why we would commit to church. It's like, but why do I commit? But then when I was thinking about it, the flip side to committing is obviously being uncommitted. But the Urban Dictionary about commitment is not just our words, it's our actions. And so we find that, well, I didn't come to church today. I didn't come last week, or I'm not coming next week. And I started to think about it. If I said to my boss on Thursday, when he rings me to say, what is going on? Why haven't you been at work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? And now you're not here again today. Oh, sorry, boss. I just had some things to do. I'm committed to you. I love where you're going. I love the direction of the company. I love the people that I work with. I love serving our customers and meeting the needs of what our corp, where our business is going. But this week, it's just got a little bit busy. Had to do the washing. I had to go shopping. Oh, but I just did it online. But then, you know, the truck said it was going to be here at 9, but it didn't get here till 2 in the afternoon. And then it wasn't worth coming to work just for the last little bit. And so I just stayed home. And, oh, I had to take my dog to the vet. And, I had to do the school run. So by the time I did that at 9, and then, well, I have to leave again at, like, 3 to go pick them back up. So there's no point coming to work in that time. And there's just all these excuses mounted up. Where's our commitment? What's the boss going to say in that scenario if we haven't been to work for 4 days because we're committed to other things? Oh, but I'm committed to you. Oh, I'll be there next week. Don't worry about it. It's like, I think we'd find that when we got to work the next week, our key wouldn't work anymore. Our login to the computer wouldn't work anymore. Whatever it is, it's like, I think our boss would be onto us. But we have this mindset when it comes to church that, oh, it's okay, I can just come once a week. Or once a week. I can just come once a month. Once a week's good. Sundays. Come once a week. That'd be an awesome start. It's like, oh, I can just come once a month or once a season or, well, I'll just come to Christmas and Easter and that'll be enough for me. So what if getting committed to it meant that our life was transformed? Again, referring to the testimonies that we've heard of some of these guys this morning, what if committing to it and saying, oh, I'm just going to be in. I'm just going to do it. I don't need to understand everything. I don't need to know everything, but I'm just going to rock up. What if that actually changed the course of our life for good? Would that be worth doing? Would that be worth actually going out? See, when we do look at the Bible and not just the Urban Dictionary, there's a couple of stories in the Bible that I love that talk about commitment. See, in Joshua 6, we read the story of the walls of Jericho coming down. You may not have grown up in church, but a lot of people know this story of the army that marched around Jericho 6 days in a row, and on the seventh day they marched around and the walls came crashing down. There's songs about it, and I don't know if there's a movie about it, but you could make one about that song. That'd be a good one. It wouldn't go very long. 7 days. You know, 7 days. It'd be like 24. But it's like, but you read that story, and I go, well, it must have been a massive city to take a whole day to walk around, right? City of Jericho was about 6 acres. I grew up on 5 acres, and 5 acres isn't very big. 6 acres is obviously just slightly bigger, 1 acre more. The time I can understand that would take then a whole day because it's 1 acre more. But we used to mow, me and my brother, we used to mow. And so that's walking back and forwards the whole 5 acres. And it didn't take 7 days. It didn't take a whole day. It took a while because we took lots of breaks. But it was like the commitment was the word that they got was do it once a day for 6 days. And on the seventh day, the walls are going to come down. What happened? They did it. They were committed. We might look like silly gooses, but we're going to do it. We're just going to walk around. The last day, walls come down. They were committed, and something happens. So I love the story. There's a guy in the Bible called Paul. He starts off being referred to as Saul, but it didn't have a name change. It was just where he lived, and in that time he had two names. It was Saul in one context and Paul in the other, depending on who he was with and where he was at. And so it kicks off in Acts verse 8, and Jesus has gone to the cross, he's died for people, and the church is scattered. The followers of Jesus have scattered. They're scared. They're running and hiding, and they're still meeting in little groups here and there, and preaching is. But the church is scattered, and Paul, as it refers to in this text, is his name's Saul, and it says in Acts 8, on that day that a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him, but Paul, began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off men and women and put them in prison. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. And it continues on. And this story of this guy, he's committed. Saul, he's committed to wiping out the church. It goes on in Acts 9, the next chapter, it goes on that he's armed and on his way to Damascus with warrants for the arrest of anybody preaching, anybody meeting in houses or anywhere, anybody following Jesus. He's basically rounding them up. He's got the warrants to do it, and the men, the army behind him, and he's marching down there to arrest these guys, throw them in jail because he is so against what they're doing. Again, you may know the story. He has an encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus where a bright light blinds him. He's then blind for a few days until he meets this guy called Ananias, and he prays for him. In chapter 9, he prays for him. He gets saved. He gets healed. He gets baptized. He has a meal. And then what does he do? In that moment, he then straight up preaching the goodness of God and seeing people get saved and set free. He's gone from being committed to destroying the church and the people of God to committed to building the church and the people of God. Why? Because he had an encounter with Jesus. He's a committed man. but his commitment has changed from being against it to being for it. And so from there, Paul begins to just go from town to town, from city to city, starting churches, preaching the good news, raising up leaders around him, and then says, right, you guys have got this. And then he moves on to the next town, goes to the next place, starts preaching the good news of Jesus, raises up leaders, starts a church, leaves it to them, moves on to the next town, and he just starts planting churches right around. He's committed. If we flick over to 2 Corinthians 11, 24. See, commitment isn't commitment until there's a challenge. Commitment isn't a commitment until there's some form of opposition. See, because it's so easy for me to say and show that I'm committed to something if there's never anything that comes against it. It's so easy for me to say, oh, I'm committed to church, but until there's something that gets in the way. There's a family function. There's work asking me to come in. There's sporting things. There's Bathurst was on last week. There's some other sporting final or something on the telly that you really want to watch or whatever it is. And it's like, until there's some form of opposition, however great, however small it is, until there's an opposition, we don't really understand whether we're committed or not. But in 2 Corinthians 11, 24 to 28, Paul writes this, 5 times I have received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the sea, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger in the sea, in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Paul went through a bit, right? Anybody been through all of that? Not me. But above all of that, Paul's heart, he's so committed to the local church that he's above everything else. His concern is not for his own safety. He's not for his own well-being, but his concern, his thoughts, and his commitment is, how's my church doing? How are these churches going? And so he continues to travel around to them. So this morning, I want to ask you a question. What are you committed to? So again, you might be sitting in church. You might have sat in church your whole life. This church, another church. You might have come with one of our friends who got baptized this morning. And so you're sitting here and the whole concept of church, maybe God, is a little bit foreign to you, or it's something of the past. It's like, well, I've been there, I've done that. Whether you're committed to church or whether you're committed to something, what else? What are you committed to is the question I want to ask you today. And can I or can somebody else challenge that? Can I or can somebody else ask you the question, why are you committed to that? See, we can be so committed to work and to running our business or to pleasing our boss or to pleasing our clients that we forget about our family. So I don't want to make this all about church and all about being committed to church. It's like it's a life balance thing. Are you that committed to your work that you never see your family, that you've neglected them? Or are you that committed to your work and your family that you've completely neglected the fact that you need to have a life, you need to have some downtime, you need to find a hobby, you need to find some form of recreation? Or are you that committed to your recreation that you need to go the other way? It's like, what are you committed to? What are you committed to? So I've already alluded to it, that I was hopeless at study through school. Was asked Julie Sampson, sitting over here. She was one of my teachers at one stage. I was a fantastic student, wasn't I, Julie? She's nodding her head like that for those that can see. I was the best student. I don't know if I've shared it from the pool before, but I remember one of our teachers, our math teachers, and she was teaching the class maths, and I was playing hangman on the whiteboard next to where she was trying to teach the class with my friends. And so that's the kind of student that I was. I wasn't... I was committed, but just not to learning and not to doing what I was meant to be doing. So I was not a good student. And so when I look back, I go, I've got to do this. And I said at the first service, I'm now looking at going back and doing some study next year. And so the thought of doing that for me begins to freak me out, begins to go, why? Well, I know the why, but I'm going, what, how am I going to do this? And so there's things that I'm going to have to commit to in order to do that. And so there's things that are going to have to happen, right? Yeah. But as I do other things, there's something that's going to have to give. And so I might be watching Bondi Rescue or Designated Survivor. It might be that I give up something so that I can find time to do that. Whatever it is. But the reason I say that is because I want to encourage you this morning to think about your life. Think about where you're at right now. And go, what do I need to do? What do I want to do? Because if we go back to that original text that I shared out of the Urban Dictionary, it's not the promise. It's not the words, it's the action. So we look at the life of Paul, we look at that story that I alluded to in Joshua about Jericho and the walls coming down. It wasn't just thoughts, it wasn't their words, it was their action. So I would love today that if every person here went home with one action. That's been my heart as I've been preparing the message, is that each one of us would go, what am I committed to? Where am I at on my life's journey? Where am I at with work? Where am I at with my family, with my friends? Where am I at with my social life? Do I have a hobby? What is it that I'm committed to? I want to encourage you. It's like, have that little moment. It might be going back to study. Like I've just said, that's one thing that I've gone, that's what I want to do. It might be, I'm not sure if that's a bee or something flying around. You'll know if it's a bee and it stings me because I'll go like that. So, what is it? Is it you're going, I've got to spend more time with my family? Well, I'm that committed to my work, I'm that committed to my friends that I've neglected my family. That would be an incredible step, incredible decision to make this morning, to go, I'm going to get more committed to my family. I'm going to make sure there's no job, there's no proposal, there's no client that big that it can sacrifice me losing my family. I'm going to commit, make time for my family. Might be the business that you've been wanting to start for so long, but you've never committed to it and gone, I'm going to make it happen. I know people would have gone, I need to make this happen. I just believe it's what needs to happen, and say, they've sold the house, and they've gone, we're going to use that money to start our business. It's like, that might be you this morning. You're going, oh, I need to make it happen, so I've got to take some drastic steps to be able to fund it, to be able to finance it. And I go, look at your life and go, I'm all work and all family. I've got no hobby. It's like, go home, buy a Kmart, buy a bike, buy a fishing rod, buy something. Do something. Get home and go, right, I'm going for a walk. I'm just going to start. Just like go around the block and then go around the block twice. Don't go too far from home because There's nothing worse than going for a walk and getting that far away and then turning around and going, I've got to go all the way back now. It's like ring a friend and say, hey, can you pick me up? There's not too many Ubers around here. But whatever it is, I really want to encourage you today. It's like, let's get practical. Let's get one thing, apply it to our life and make our lives better. That's what we're here for, right? That's what I'm here for. To become more like Jesus. To make my life better so that I can make those around me better. And so I'd love you to close your eyes this morning as we come to a close. Why do I ask you to shut your eyes? It's not really anything spiritual. It's purely for me. When I shut my eyes, it blocks out the person next to me. As I close my eyes, I no longer see them playing with a pen or sitting on their phone or twisting a ring on their finger or tapping their knee. All those little things that can distract us and bug us. Closing our eyes focuses us internally on where we're at. God, I want to pray for each person here this morning. From the front to the back, from the left to the right. Every person listening online. God, I pray that you would speak to us about that one thing. That as we have our eyes shut in this moment, maybe we can see that one thing. Maybe it's a person. Maybe it's that one person that we need to go and just reconnect with. Or might be the person we need to commit to not connecting with anymore. Because we need to get our life back on track, and severing that tie is going to be the way to do it. God, I pray for that one thing for each one of us. God, I pray for the people sitting around us. The people sitting to our left and to our right today. Family, friends. God, I pray that they can encourage us. God, I pray that I can encourage them to chase that one thing, to get committed, to not back down, to not give up, but to keep pushing in. God, I pray that as we do that one thing, as we commit to doing that one thing, God, it would make us a better person. Make our business stronger. Make our family stronger. Make us stronger. And then as we do those things, we make our community stronger. So, Father, I pray that you would bless each person here. God, for Brad, for Rosie, for Rachel, for Silvio, for Georgia, as they've taken a step of being baptized today, God, I pray, Father, the best days are yet to come. God, I pray, believing with each of them as they go and share the moment with friends, with family. God, I pray that you would encourage them like never before. And as they may have ticked off this one thing, God, that you'd be speaking to them today about the next one thing. God, that they would remain committed to you. God, they'd remain committed to the house of God. where I've got our eyes closed. Just in the last couple of minutes we have here today, I want to ask you this question. We've talked a lot about commitment. We've talked about God. We've talked about His church. See, I said I got baptized on November 2003. I made a decision in a meeting like this. I put my hand up. I prayed a prayer with Pastor Josh Kelsey, September 2002, to give my heart, to make a commitment that I was going to walk in a relationship with Jesus Christ, that I was going to accept God as my Lord and Savior. So I don't know where you're at, visiting with family and friends, visiting just because you rocked up today. But I would love to pray a prayer with you to invite Jesus into your heart and start you on a journey of walking in a relationship with Him. And so if that's you today, I'd love you to be bold. I'd love you to be courageous. The guys got baptized and have done this. I did this. There's a whole bunch of people in this meeting that have slipped their hand up in a meeting just like this in the past. If that's you today, if that's you, you're going, John, I don't really know where my life's going. I don't really know what I'm committed to, but I want to give this a go. I want to make a commitment today to following Jesus, to walking in, to starting a relationship with Him. If you're sitting in this meeting and you want to pray a prayer with me to invite Him into your heart, to invite Him into your life after this meeting, you just slip your hand up now. Be so bold, so courageous to slip your hand up so I can see it. I'd love to pray with you afterwards. So anyone here that wants to pray that prayer, wants to invite Jesus into their heart? Maybe sitting here going, there's no way I'm lifting my hand. If you're umming and ahhing, thinking about that now on the inside, I'd love you to come have a chat with me after the service. If you'd like prayer for anything else that you've got going on in your life, one of the team would love to just spend a few moments and pray with you down the front here. So please come and do that.